It's Here and Now. Ann Leary is a writer, and she follows one of the golden rules: write what you know. Her memoir, An Innocent Abroad, was about the birth of her son prematurely while she was in London. The child is the innocent, she is the broad. Her marriage to Dennis Leary, star of the TV show Rescue Me, probably informed just a little of her novel, Outtakes from a Marriage, which is the story of a woman married to the star of a TV show. Ann Leary also wrote a recent Modern Love column in the New York Times about how playing tennis and watching the movie March of the Penguins might have saved her real-life marriage to Dennis. And now there's Ann Leary's latest book, The Good House, in which she writes with firsthand knowledge about drinking. It's the story of 60-year-old Hildy Good, who's rebuilding her real estate business in a small coastal town after coming out of rehab where she'd been exiled by her grown daughters. Hildy, the narrator, is more than happy to direct us to other storylines in town. Look over there at that affair or a castle being built. But we slowly realize this is a story about her and how she's gone back to drinking. Just wine, just at night, just by herself.
Most nights I just have a few glasses. I've come to love my nightly party of one. I've no need to go out with others, all the bothersome others with their judgments and their quick looks between them. Stolen pleasures are always more thrilling than those come by honestly. It's what I imagine makes adulterous love affairs so exciting, having a wickedness concealed beneath one's everyday mantle of goodness.
Well, you know, that isn't going to end well. Ann Leary's The Good House came out in paperback this month. It's being made into a film starring Meryl Streep as Hildy, Robert De Niro as the town handyman. And Ann Leary joins us in the studio with more. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a great read. And let's just talk about how your own experience might have infused this, because you're not shy about talking about your own drinking or the fact that you don't anymore.
Yeah, I do have a history of alcoholism, and I am in recovery, and I have it was in the past year as a publication of this book was approaching that I first came out about my alcoholism, although most of my friends have always known that I don't drink. Actually, some very good friends of mine never really knew why, and now everybody knows.
Well, but they couldn't help but know, I would imagine, if people said to you, how do you know this voice so well? How do you know this voice of this person who tries so hard to convince herself that what she's doing is okay?
Right, yeah. So that's what I really loved about writing this book. And it was really the challenge for me as the writer was to write a book in the first person from the point of view of an alcoholic in complete denial. So Hildy is telling the reader one thing and then have the reader start to wonder if she's actually telling the truth about her drinking.
At first you think, well, yeah, gosh, leave this woman alone. She did rehab. But then you do start to wonder, because we are in her head, it's dizzying, because you start to wonder, wait a minute, did she really do what she said last night? Or is this person telling her that, no, you were actually in your car driving last night? Are they right?
Right. I wanted to get across to the reader the very real confusion and fear that accompanies blackout drinking.
Even before the blackouts, there's just the fuzziness that makes her see things differently. And so you as the reader do too.
Right. I think what people who aren't alcoholics don't understand is that denial isn't a refusal to believe the truth on the part of the alcoholic. They actually believe their truth. You know, it's not that they're turning a blind eye. They actually are in a different reality than their family members.
Even when there seems to be some awareness so that she will not drink, let's say, at a social gathering, but then get home and throw her keys up on the roof so that she can drink quietly alone at home.
Right.
There's an awareness there. You must know that there's something wrong.
Right.
How much of this is talking to other women about what's being recognized as a problem equal to the problem of the, you know, the men who would fall off bar stools, you know,
right,
these women and quiet drinking?
There's a little bit more shame, I think, for the female alcoholic, the high-functioning female alcoholic, which is many alcoholics. They take good care of their kids. They may work. And then after the kids go to bed, they might drink a few glasses of wine. And then that turns into a few more and a few more. And the next day, they don't really remember going to bed. And it's been interesting. I've received so many emails from people who said they really related to this and to the kind of enjoyment that comes from drinking alone. And Hildy really does. She loves her party of one. She actually feels more herself when she's drinking. She is not the most, you know, she's a real New Englander. She's flinty and a little bit strident. And she's not able to really show love and show kind of vulnerable feelings unless she's drinking. When she's drinking, it's the only time she's able to kind of soften and feel and allow herself to experience her softer feelings without being afraid of being vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much your drinking and your stopping drinking intersected with a terrific column that you wrote in the Modern Love column in the New York Times about you and your husband, Dennis Leary, of course, the actor, and how you had, you know, a rough patch that seemed to extend for quite a while. But somehow through playing tennis and learning how to play tennis well together with respect for each other and the rules, and seeing the film March of the Penguins about the heartbreaking story of the penguins trying to guide the eggs holding their offspring and, you know, not letting the egg break, how those two things somehow kept you guys together.
I think the thing was, if you've seen the movie March of the Penguins, there was a time in our marriage where we came to find ourselves in sort of a penguin marriage. And in that movie, the penguins mate for just the period that that egg is being incubated, and once it hatches and is able to be on its own, the penguins part forever. That struck us both because we saw the movie when we were going through this part of our marriage where we realized, you know, we're kind of in a penguin marriage. It seems to be that it's all about just raising these kids, and we almost didn't feel like it would last once the kids grew up. You know, now they've been out of the house for years and our marriage is great, but there was a time we didn't think that would happen.
Well, and part of keeping it together was, you know, the hard work of one foot in front of another, going to counseling, having date nights, playing better together, playing more civilly.
By the rules is what it came down to, is, you know, playing by the rules and fairly and not feeling competitive, but we started becoming proud. We both took up tennis late in life. You know, we didn't play it growing up. And so we started, instead of being mad at the other when the other won, we started, as our marriage got better, we started being really proud of the other, and we both got better. And then, you know, we wanted to, instead of just slam a ball in and kill, and we wanted to keep the ball going and have long rallies.
Are in a long rally.
Yeah.
Well, but there was a moment in the story where you both had agreed to divorce, and that's when you started getting actually closer, and you were offering up your...
My grievances. I was kind of doing this, putting on his side of the court, you know, this is why the marriage failing is your fault. Instead of rising to the fight, he just said, I'm sorry. And it was kind of this thing happened, you know, this often happens in counseling, where something happened with the realization that it is possible that we could split up, that made us realize we don't necessarily have to. It sounds very simplistic, but
it also gave you room to apologize, and you were listing some of the things that you were sorry you'd done. And bring me back to Hildy Good.
Right.
Was drinking a part of that? Or
Everyone has their little things that they have to overcome. So, but yes, certainly that was it. And in The Good House, Hildy's relationship with alcohol certainly affects her relationships with everybody. But mostly it's her relationship with the truth, which is something that is the hardest thing for her to come to terms with, which is the kind of the struggle of most alcoholics.
And most marriages.
And most marriages, that's right.
That's Ann Leary. Her book, The Good House, just out in paperback this month. A terrific read. Ann, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Meghna, who knew? March of the Penguins is about marriage counseling or something. Or don't drop your penguin egg. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now. Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, with a new performance season. Miranda July, Carol Armitage, and Bill T. Jones. More at icaboston.org.